Hi there, and greetings to everyone seeking and hoping to find the true meaning of life, those sick and tired of this poisonous world whose soul and spirit are bleeding, and of the emptiness and futility of this materialistic civilization. Welcome to our radio show, The Way, The Truth, The Life. Welcome to our world of supreme love and immortality, where all human hopes are fulfilled. Welcome to the world of Orthodox Christian spirituality, a world now unknown to the West, which once had the key, but lost it a long time ago, the key that has an answer to every question. My name is monk Arsenije Jovanović. I live in the monastery of Ostrog, Montenegro. It is never too easy to talk on spiritual issues, especially when it has to be in foreign language, which is English to me. I apologize in advance for possible mistakes. However, I believe God will help me to say the word and you to understand it. So, let us embark on our waves. Good evening, dear listeners, brothers and sisters. We are continuing with our series, with my lectures given this December, last December and January, being in Australia in missionary project. So this last speech given in English was in beginning of January 2015 in Serbian Orthodox Church of St. Lazarus in Alexandria, Sydney. And since it was a pretty long speech, it is divided in two parts. Tonight you will listen to the first part, and next Friday you will hear second part of this lecture. Thank you, and I hope you will enjoy it.
Father Arsenije usually tends to speak for about an hour and a half at a time. So I trust that you will patiently listen to him. You indeed have something well worth listening to. And later on, we will open up the floor to discussions. God bless you and keep you well. Oče Arsenije, thank you once again for coming and for heeding this invitation of our local church in Australia and New Zealand.
Thank you, Your Grace. Thank you all for coming. And hopefully, maybe it is not going to be that long, as His Grace said. Yes, he said that I'm not very typical monk, unusual monk. And I'm always thinking of myself whether I should do something like this or just to hide myself from this world and spend the rest of my life in the monastery like I intended 25 years ago when I had made a decision to leave the world and to withdraw from the tumult of the world and from the chaos that is over there. But it looks like it's God's wish, God's will for me to go out of the monastery and to give what I have to give. My inner world, maybe it is extremely unusual. Maybe I'm going to be judged by church fathers, especially by the monks, maybe especially by the monks from Holy Mountain in Greece, because they say we should never talk about these things. But I think, and I follow the steps of some recent church fathers who have realized that the time has come to talk openly about about God, about His grace, about His miracles, about His energies that we can participate in. And first of all, I have to apologize for my English, because English is not my native language. And I used to live in the United States 25 years ago. And then there I learned, and my English is New York Street English. It's not English from books or from high schools. And it's never easy to talk about spiritual issues, especially when it is on your in language that is not your native language. But with God's help, I'll try to utter a word, as His grace said, and I hope God will open your ears to hear and to understand me. Whenever I stand up in front of such an audience, I always recount my deeds, my life, and think whether I should talk openly about my life. Maybe I'm going to scandalize somebody or everybody. But since I follow the modern world, and no matter I went to the monastery, especially in last 4 years since I have left my hermitage, since I used to live in hermitage in the mountains of southern part of Serbia for 5 years. So since I have left over there by God's providence, I have realized that I'm called to go in front of people and talk. So since the world goes very fast, everything goes fast today, we have to follow it and to make a parallel between this world and between spiritual world. It is very important. Sometimes we people from the church are somehow old-fashioned, which is not good for today's world, because people of nowadays, they need somebody who is contemporary, who is following what is going on in the world. And this is my last talk, which is going to be in Australia, I think 9th. I'm here already almost 20 days, and most of the talks were in Serbian, and some of them were in English. So I'm wondering, should I repeat myself, or should I try to say something new? But I think in front of such an audience, I should start with my own life story again, because most of we didn't see each other. Some of these talks are on internet, but it's not easily to be approached, since it is a Serbian Orthodox Church website. So I was born 55 years ago in Serbia, ex-Yugoslavia, in Belgrade, under the full sway of communism. And since my childhood, I was longing for something higher in this life, for some inner fulfillment. But I couldn't find it as a child, since there was no anything spiritual in those days. Only communism, and not communism like in Russia or like in Romania, Bulgaria, which is hard communism. In Yugoslavia it was soft communism, which is even more dangerous, because it gives you idea that we are free, we can travel, we had a passport, everything was fine, everything was nice, there was money, nobody was working, and it was just one general indulgence, enjoyment in life, but in a wrong way. And I remember when I was a kid, from the very beginning, I had inclination towards narcotics. I remember in those days we used to heat our apartments in Belgrade. Many of apartments were heated by oil stoves, petroleum stoves. And in our basement we used to have cans full of
petroleum. So when I used to go down there with my father to take petroleum up in our apartment, I would smell this smell of petroleum, and I had such a strong attraction towards this smell. So it was kind of in the beginning in myself, from the early childhood. And I'm making comparison with today's gay movement. Today we have a very strong gay movement, homosexual, LGBT, and many other words and letters in this, not only lesbian, gays, and whatever, but now this number goes more and more and more. So they say this is not illness, this is not deviation, is it? That's how it is said. It is given to us from our birth. But that doesn't mean that it's something normal, that this is something to be improved by society. Since we, from the early childhood, could have certain inclinations towards something, but it doesn't mean it's normal, it's native to us. It means that we are somehow spoiled by civilization. We are degenerated and we are wounded with this civilization, with this humanity that we live in, with this world. And even genetically, we can have these inclinations towards something, which means how ill we are. We are taking all these passions and obsessions and lusts from our parents, and we can find it in ourselves from early childhood. Also, I remember when I was in daycare, I was maybe 5 years old or 6 years old, I was pushed by certain force to masturbate. And I knew it's not good. As a little child, I knew it's something bad. But something was forcing me to masturbate. And it was an enemy of humankind, always coming to the pure child and starting to spoil his soul from the very beginning. I remember my mother used to teach me how to pray. But she was not clever enough, she was not cautious enough, she was not experienced enough to tell me, when you start to pray, there is always danger that the evil spirits, that the spirits of darkness, who cannot stand prayer, they will come and they will try to change our minds, to stop us to pray. And I remember I used to pray Our Father, who art in heaven, and before I ended, there was another thought telling me, stop saying this. God is something bad, and this being used very bad words. I'm not going to repeat these words now, but he was saying God is this and that. Don't do this. And I was fighting as a child. I was realizing that there was some evil force much stronger than me that is influencing me and having strong control over me. But my mother was not clever and not experienced enough to tell me, when I start to pray, that these thoughts, these influences from the spiritual world will come and trying to stop us. So I stopped praying. And that was big tragedy, because from those years on, I was a prey of the evil spirits of this world. So when I was about 12 years old, I stopped being a child. Being a child doesn't mean being old in years, having small number of or big number of years. It means how do you act in your soul? Do you still feel shame when you do something wrong, or you become shameless? When we become shameless, we stop being children. since when we are children, we have this joy of life, which is given to us from the Spirit from above. And we do not have to be that pious, but being children, we have this protection from the Creator of the universe. And this protection gives us joy of life. But when we become shameless, when we stop listening to our parents, when we start to think that we are more clever than them, then we cut off ourselves from this energy that comes from above. And we do not feel like children anymore. And what does it mean, not feeling like a child anymore? It means that you do not feel joy of life anymore. You're starting to feel emptiness in your soul. All of a sudden, there is no this magic, this childhood magic in you anymore. You do not feel this fulfillment as child. Something is missing. So it happened with me when I was 12 years old. I started to go out from home with other boys and girls similar to me who had enough money because our parents were more or less on high positions in the communist system and their careers were much more important to them than us children, like it is today most likely. Very similar. So they didn't have time for us to give us their attention and their love, and they used to give us only money. But with money we couldn't satisfy our souls, so we started to go out. And I remember we were 12, 13, 14 years old. We would go out in the city, we would buy some cheap wine, and we would go into the building sites in our city or in garages somewhere, drinking, getting drunk very young, and discussing about life, about philosophy of life. What is life? Is it worthy of living it? Or maybe to commit a suicide? Because we used to think about suicide very early. Everything was so empty, everything was so gray in those days. And I believe it's very similar. There is no great difference between communism and capitalism because it is a materialism. It is a consumerism. These are new religions of today's world. We just need something together to put in ourselves, thinking that we are going to satisfy our souls. But we are wrong. And but since we were clever kids and gifted kids, in those days we used to have rock concerts coming from Western Europe, rock bands, and from the United States of America. And we were exposed to this influence from the West, rock and roll, hippie movement. Hippie movement was still on in those early 70s. And we have realized it is something new. It's something which is going to put certain color in the grayness of our lives. So very soon we discovered that it is going to be our religion and the philosophy of our life, rock and roll. It was giving us certain power to realize that we are alive, that there is a meaning of life. And those rock concerts were electric liturgies. Liturgy, you know what is liturgy, like a mass. And in those liturgies, we used to have those pseudo-priests from Western Europe and America with all those light shows, strong music. It was a really very impressive to our kids from small Serbia, from small Belgrade. And like on every liturgy, At the end of the liturgy, you take communion. Because liturgy is a rite. You worship certain spirit, certain power that comes from above. In the case of Orthodox Christian liturgy, we worship Holy Trinity, God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And at the end of the liturgy, we partake of this divinity, and we receive it in ourselves. And that's how we can continue in our life. So in those days, in these rock concerts, which were electric liturgies, we were actually forced, and we were not forced by from outside, but from the whole event, that we take communion as well, to partake of the spirit that we were worshipping in those rock concerts. And the communion in rock concerts were narcotics. So we didn't stay on alcohol, but we progressed higher. So in those rock concerts you could buy. In those days there was no heroin in Yugoslavia. There was marijuana, hashish, LSD trips, and that was it. No cocaine, no heroin, but there was opium. Because we had a Macedonia, which is nearby, big fields of opium. So I remember in those days there was a lot of drug addicts taking drugs by needle, preparing this opium, which was stinking terribly. They were boiling this in spoons and shooting in their veins, in their young veins, in their empty veins and in their empty souls. They didn't find anything else in those grey, sad days of communism in Yugoslavia, so they were forced to fill their veins with stinking opium. And we used to smoke marijuana and hashish, actually more hashish, because marijuana was not that common in those days. And we thought we have found finally the meaning of life, because being stoned on those light drugs, as they call them today, it looked like that we have found the source of energy, the source of inspiration for all our gifts that we used to have. Because my friends, they were mostly musicians, painters, actors, and avant-garde of Belgrade in those days, in those years. Together with having narcotics, which were very close to us, we were still looking for higher spiritual fulfillment. And since Christianity was completely suspended in Yugoslavia, it was mocked. You're not forbidden to go to church, but you would be mocked if you go there, and of course you would stay without your job. But young man who is looking for higher meaning of life, he cannot be satisfied with this. So we were looking for some kind of spiritual fulfillment besides these light drugs. So like in whole Western Europe and in whole Western world, where there is no Christ anymore, Christ is expelled, we kicked him out from our countries, from our cities, from our souls. We do not need Christ anymore. So we have found, which was very easily to be approached, the Far East philosophies and religions, Zen Buddhism, Hinduism, yoga, transcendental meditation, And it also looked like something very special, something really divine. And we used to go to these courses to be initiated. I was initiated in two Hindu sects. One was called Guru Maharaji, and another one was Transcendental Meditation. Transcendental Meditation is brought to Europe by Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, who was invited to Europe by Beatles in England. So, of course, England was one of the first countries in Europe where Jesus Christ was kicked out. But of course, man cannot live without spiritual fulfillment. So they turned their heads towards Far East, towards Orient, which has this cheap and easy spirituality. It is very cheap and easy to be spiritual person in terms of Far East meditative techniques and philosophies. You just sit in lotus, meditate, repeat your mantra for many times, and then you feel certain neurological, you feel some kind of excitement, but in your nervous system. It doesn't have anything to do with the spirituality in terms of, if we talk about spirituality, if I say I'm a spiritual person or somebody's spiritual person, it means that he holds in himself certain spirit. The only spirit that we should acquire is the Holy Spirit. All other spirits are spirits who look forward to kill us, to destroy us. So in those days, I remember, we used to invoke these mantras, and we were not supposed to know what my mantra means. Can you imagine how cunning it was? You know, you're supposed to repeat a word for hundred thousands of times in your life, and you're not supposed to know. It's not given to you to know what does it really mean. And myself and some of us, we managed to find out what does it mean. Those mantras were names of certain gods, Hindu gods. And we know that these gods are actually fallen spirits, because there is only one God, creator of universe, earth and heaven. And all those gods were demons. So we used to invoke the names of these demons for many years of our lives, for many years. And I remember meditation. Meditation today is a very modern thing, especially in New Age movement, which is very present in today's world, in today's Australia, everywhere. And they accept all those meditative techniques from Far East. And during meditation, there is never actually notion of supreme being that we are supposed to get in contact, to get in touch with. We are actually getting in touch only with ourselves. But unfortunately, not only with ourselves, but with those fallen spirits who abide in us. And since we do not have contact in meditation with a creator, with a supreme being, it is a monologue. And the meditation is actually spiritual masturbation. We spiritually masturbate when we meditate. And usually we have this neurological, it's a excitement of nervous system, and we think that we reach certain ecstasies, but it is only on the level of our body and nervous system. And since it is masturbation, it gives only death. We spill our energy and we invoke the spirits of darkness who then come to us and change us. I remember friends of mine who were meditating and who were going to the higher courses. They are Siddhi courses. Siddhi means power in Sanskrit. So they used to go to ashram in Amsterdam, and they were taught there. They were, как се каже, били су лагани, били су преварени.
They were deceived
by these false teachers, telling them that they are going to acquire cities, higher powers. So they thought they are going to be able to levitate, and they call this to hop up, something like that. I do not know exactly in English. Some kind of hopsing, you know, hop, hop, hop. So they would sit in lotus, invoking certain formulas, and they would start to jump more and more. And really, sitting in this Turkish seat, as we call it in Balkans, you cannot jump, of course, but this strange force would help them to jump. Of course, they couldn't levitate, but they could jump high. And they were deceived, thinking that they're in contact with some divine power. But very soon after this, many of these friends of mine, they became heavy homosexuals. They became heavy drug addicts. When heroin came in Belgrade, they all got hooked on heroin. I was meditating for 7.5 years. And I would always go into the sexual promiscuity after meditating. Because meditation doesn't really heal our degenerated energy of our souls, called passions, called obsessions, called lusts. We just put oil on fire, and our passions are just growing stronger and stronger. But in the opposite of meditation, what I have discovered many, many years after this, after that time, was prayer. And in prayer, you're actually addressing the Supreme Being, the Creator of the universe. And prayer is a dialogue. And as a dialogue, it's a mutual love between two persons, between two personalities. God's person and my person. He goes down, I'm going up, and we are in synergy. And since it is a loving communion, it gives life in comparison with meditation that produces only death. And in this divine dialogue with the Supreme Being, we are receiving life, and not only life but immortal life. Unfortunately, in those days I didn't know that. So we have continued living this way of life, growing up, discovering in ourselves different gifts, especially for music. So we started to make rock bands. And we wanted to try ourselves whether we are going to be able to be priests of our new religion, which was hippie movement, sex and drugs and rock and roll. Of course, nobody is talking about hippie movement today and rock and roll. It belongs to the past. But it is the root of today's world. In those days, in hippie revolution, it was a third revolution in the history, which was against real and good order of the world, they call it old order. So the first revolution was French Revolution, and it expelled monarchy and church from France and basically from all Europe. Then the third revolution came, socialist, communist revolution, which killed the last anointed czar, who was the last Christian anointed ruler of Russia. He was killed, his whole family, and the Holy Church of Russia was forced to go underground. And as communists said, I'm going to kill God in you. I'm going to kill your God in you. So they really managed to kill God in ourselves, in the whole Eastern Europe, since God was killed long time ago in Western Europe. So this second revolution did what it did, and third revolution came, and after this third revolution there will be no more revolutions. This was the last one which approved that everything is acceptable. I will get whatever I want for myself, and nobody is there to forbid this to me. So in those days, this sexual revolution was in full sway, and we used to live as animals. It was a matter of competition, who is going to have more lovers. Very often, when I would wake up in the morning, and besides me in the bed there was a girl, very often I couldn't remember even her name. And it was so sad. This young girls and these young boys, they were making this early sex in a terribly sad manner. From this point now, I see how sad it was, how ugly it was. Because through this early sex, we wither our souls. Soul is wounded through this sexual intercourse, which is given to us for something beautiful, to create new life. But we used to use this sex as a means of fun and to reach certain sensation, because we were so numb. Как се каже? Анестезирован. Anesthetized. We couldn't feel anymore being alive. We needed more and more, stronger and stronger sensations. So our life in Belgrade was going on, ruining our lives. And beginning of the 80s, heroin came in Belgrade. In the meantime, many of our friends, they become very successful. They became very successful in music, in rock and roll, in painting, in acting. They already managed to acquire a certain level, certain position in avant-garde scene of Belgrade. But unfortunately, we were all basically taking drugs, because we couldn't expose our gifts. We couldn't give our possibilities out of ourselves to our audience without taking drugs. Because we didn't have this initial impulse which everybody of us need, which comes from spiritual world. This inner strength that helps us to fulfill, to make all our possibilities exposed and developed, of course. All our possibilities developed. So that's why we had to take drugs. Being so ill-tempered from the outer world, which was everything but not spiritual in those days. We didn't go to church, so we needed something to fulfill our empty souls. But I was not on the stage, but I was just one step behind the stage. I wanted to study art on paint, art academy, to be a painter, but my father didn't allow me. He told me, no way. You have to study something concrete, something that is going to give you money. Artists are always poor. So I entered dentistry, and I was studying dentistry. And it helped me to protect myself from deep pits that friends of mine used to fall in. Since from the very youth of mine, I was always ready to fight with myself, to see what are my possibilities, to reach my boundaries, to struggle with myself. So I have found medicine as a battlefield where I can show what I really can do in my life. So this studying of dentistry helped me not to stay whole night long outside with my friends. I would go very often, and I would stay late very often, but then I would have to go back home and to study. But many friends of mine, they got hooked on heavy drugs, and since we have all, I finally finished my university, and most of them, since they have acquired certain success in Belgrade society, little Serbia and little Belgrade became too small for us, too boring. And we have decided to leave, since the communism was falling down, and it was a terrible state, post-communist time in Yugoslavia. It was extremely hard living there. So we have decided to leave and to continue living in the Western world. So one part of my friends, we went to East Coast of United States of America. Some of them went to West Coast. Some of them went to Europe, mostly Berlin, London, Paris, Barcelona. So we continued to live the same way of life over there. We were clever enough, we were gifted enough to not stay like a simple workers over there for a long time. After a couple of years, we have managed to take positions in a more or less, let's say, high positions in this New York community. But since we were still living in the same manner without spiritual fulfillment, we have continued to live and to in the same way like in Belgrade, taking drugs, entering many sexual mutations. Many of my friends became homosexuals, lesbians, transvestites. And finally, we couldn't go any longer this way because narcotics, they take away a big part of us. They're coming to take their debt that we owe to them. Because when you take certain drug, you worship the spirit that is actually the spirit who is abiding in certain drug. And this spirit is always sooner or later coming to take what he needs out of us, what he's giving to us. He's giving to us certain powers, false powers, but after all, he's taking to take our health and our brains and our souls. And in those days, big number of my friends They became heavy drug addicts. Some of them, they became infected by AIDS. Some of them died from overdose. And the best friend of mine that we came together in the United States, he was a very famous painter in those days among young painters. But he was heavy heroin addict. And since he couldn't stay in New York anymore, because New York was a place where you can get all the drugs from all over the world, and it was very cheap. So he tried to save himself moving to Canada, to Toronto. But he couldn't escape his demons. And for him, Canada was small. It was a provincial place. So he went back to Europe, and he went to Paris. He became even more famous in Paris. There was even a movie made about him from some French director. But he couldn't cope anymore with his drug addiction. He even stopped taking drugs. He even stopped taking heroin. But his health was ruined. And he went back to Belgrade, to his mother, home. And unfortunately, he died. He died 1999. And with his death, half of my personality died. Since I loved this man extremely, this love was something maybe the most precious in my life. Of course, it was not homosexual love. It was a real, deep friendship. And real friendship is always love. So this death really changed my life. And my life was also going into the wrong direction. I was not taking heavy drugs, but I must say that marijuana is a heavy drug. It changes your mind extremely. It's leading you into the psychotic state of your mind, into a disease called schizophrenia. And I remember I was a heavy smoker of marijuana. And after 10 years of smoking marijuana, my mind started to change. And one time, for the first time in my life, I had a hallucination. And what is hallucination? Hallucination is when you strongly believe that it is real what you see. If you have a slight idea that maybe it's not true, then it's not hallucination anymore. But when you strongly believe in it, it's a hallucination, and it comes. It comes from spirits of darkness that approach our minds and gives us these false ideas and false pictures. And today's psychiatry, unfortunately, they do not know what is it all about. And when somebody comes to a psychiatrist and says, "Doctor, I hear voices. I see things, certain beings coming, going through my room and my apartment, and they are telling me something," but very often they just vanish, they come again. And a contemporary psychiatrist, he is convinced it is a brain disease, it is a biochemical disorder of brain biochemistry, and nothing else. And right away, he's prescribing us psychoactive drugs, which are actually killing us even more than that. It is all experiments. With today's psychoactive drugs, psychiatry, medicine is experimenting with us. And it is a spiritual thing. The brain chemical disorder is just a secondary cause. First cause is a lack of divine spirit in us, this source of energy that helps our soul to be sound and healthy. And when the soul is sound and healthy, all the metabolism is regular. It works regularly. When the soul is disturbed, all the powers of our body and of our brain is disturbed. And then, because of this spiritual disorder, the chemical disorders are taking place in our organisms. But unfortunately, medicine, today's medicine, contemporary medicine, do not admit that there is a spiritual cause of certain disease. And when you come to psychiatrist, if you have a certain psychic problem, you are going to take those most likely these psychoactive drugs for your whole life. And it is not important. All of you who have problems with fear, with anxiety, with psychotic episodes, do not think that it is something that you are sick. You are just under the attack of spirits of darkness. And there is a completely another way how to save ourselves. In those times, I still didn't know that. So, when I had this hallucination, I used to have a girlfriend in Belgrade. She was a heavy drug addict. And she was, I'm sure she was doing some kind of witchcraft. And she was giving me narcotics. So one of the reasons that I left Belgrade was to leave this demonic woman. I was not strong enough to quit with her over there, I admit that. So I had to flee away. So I went to New York. I met another girl. So one night we were going out to find some nice nightclub or a pub. And over there, when we were going down the streets of Tribeca, it's a part of Manhattan, on the right-hand side of the street there was coffee shops and nightclubs and restaurants. So in one pub, as we were passing by, this girlfriend of mine and myself, I glanced into this pub, and sitting by the counter, I saw this girl of mine from Belgrade sitting there and smiling to me like this. Terrible nightmare. I couldn't believe she's there. I said to myself, she came to New York after me. But it was really a nightmare to me. So I grabbed this girl for hand. I said, "Let's go." And she said, "Come on, what's going on with you?" So I didn't tell her what happened. So only after 2 days, when I was asking friends of mine, did she really come from Belgrade? And they told me, "What are you talking about? No, she didn't come." And then I realized, maybe after 2 or 3 days, that I really had a strong hallucination, and I was scared. I was scared for my health. I was scared for my life. Because I said to myself, so the very next day, I can have another hallucination, and another, and another. And I'm going to lose contact with this reality. And I'm going to finish with psychiatrists and with heavy illegal narcotics, which are psychoactive drugs.
Thank you for listening Radio Svetigora, the radio station of the Serbian Orthodox Church, Diocese of Montenegro and the Seaside. Blessed by His High Eminence, Metropolitan Amfilohije.